Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest Technology Spotlight on KnowledgeCast. I'm Joe Hilger, co-founder and COO of Enterprise Knowledge. Our Technology Spotlights are a product-centered view of how technology solves today's KM's challenges. During each of these episodes, I'll speak with leaders of different product companies whose tools help solve some of the important KM challenges we run into today. And today, I'm speaking with Leslie Farinella, the Chief Strategy Officer at Xylene. Xylene is an industry-leading component-based learning content management system. Say that three times fast. Leslie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Joe. I'm excited to be here and talk today.
So let's get started. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Xylene and its component-based learning content management system? What's the elevator pitch? And why should our listeners be excited about it?
So Xylene is a learning content management system. Think a CCMS for learning, if you will. And what our mission is to accelerate the speed of knowledge transfer across the enterprise. So you can make your content more fluid, essentially. So what we find is many organizations, they struggle to deliver content when and where people need it. I mean, we've all had this problem when you go to search for something and you just want a procedure and you end up with a 20-page document. Or you end up with something and, you know, my role's in here somewhere, but everybody's thrown the kitchen sink into the document. So you're trying to figure out what's relevant to you, what's not. Or even worse, you find it, but you're not sure you can trust it. Like, is this the latest version? Because I'm not really sure. And so what Xylene does is we want to manage that content chaos for you. So one, we know the content needs to be more personalized to users. But what that does is create what we call the content explosion. Now I have lots of different versions I need to manage. And so in some ways, you've made the problem worse. So many people then fall back to one size fits all, because trying to personalize it just isn't sustainable. So that's where Xylene and technology comes into play to make this work. So that's our mission. That's what we do. So how do we do it? So what we do is we want to make your content more fluid. And the first thing we need to do that is we need to break down the barriers between your content. Because right now your content's fused in many cases into a lot of different formats. We've all had this, trying to scrape content out of PowerPoint or PDF or worse, the SCORM package. And so you really can't get to that content or maintain it. So we want to make it more fluid. So what we want to do is say, start with your content is just a body of knowledge. It is format agnostic. It doesn't have a purpose in life yet. It starts out as a body of knowledge. And when you think of it that way, it really becomes empowering because your content is the great explanation. Your content is the concept. It's the procedure. It's the activity. It might be the questions. So when you start with that, then what you can do is you can start to think of the content as content components. So hence, content components, component of content management system. And then you can think of it as Legos. So you can start to pull these together to assemble the content you want. And that starts to let you to personalize. But even at this point, it's just assembling what does somebody need for their role, for a certain region, or even for my learning level. Like, you know, I'm a novice versus an expert. So then the next step that Xylene takes is now I want to publish this out. And when I publish it out, that's when I'm going to put that presentation layer on it. So that's when I might make it for classroom. I need an instructor guide, student guide, and PowerPoint. Maybe for e-learning, I want something that looks more like an e-learning next with some of your interactivities and maybe some knowledge checks in there. But we all know that actually sometimes I just need to look something up. And experts are skimmers, right? They want something I can skim, find when I want, I can move on my way. Or sometimes I just want the procedure or the concept. And what we're finding even more today is a lot of it, I just want to be able to grab the XML or the content itself with APIs. I don't even want a presentation layer. So Xylene has all of the publishing engines out of the box that let you create that whole range of outputs. And they're fully extensible so you can make them look how you need them to look. Now I've got the content how I want. But what Xylene says is, you know what, until I get to the hands of the learner, I haven't really managed my content. So we need to manage that all the way to the distribution systems. And that's when we keep that connection with your content to your learning management system, your learning experience platform, your knowledge platform, your customer's LMS, your customer's portal. So wherever that content is ultimately going to live, all of that content is still controlled or managed by Xylene from that single source all the way back. So what that means, and here's where the magic, this is where we get so excited, the magic happens, is I change one step in one procedure. And the system knows that that procedure lives in these 10 places across these three platforms, and it will hotfix. It will change that step of the procedure everywhere it lives. And that's how you could actually get to personalization scale. Because without that type of control and having that single source of truth for your content, this idea of personalization, and now we're even starting to think individualization of skills, just isn't going to happen. And so that's our mission, and we help a lot of companies to solve that fundamental problem.
So I love this. So you've got the best of all worlds. You've got a headless content management system like they all brag about. You've got a componentized content management system, and yet you're purpose-built for learning. And what you're able to do with this is just incredible, because you can now give your customers the ability to answer something once and repeat it any number of places it needs to be. That's very neat. I see why so many people in our learning practice are so excited about this. So for our clients, what roles should be looking into a tool like this? Is it just the chief learning officer, or is it a broader scope?
Chief learning officer, of course. You know, they're the great ones because they've got the strategy and they have the budgets as well. But you know what? Really, when we think about it, it comes down to, I think, five different groups for us. One is the innovators. So these are the people that realize that the current status quo just isn't going to work. And they're usually people a little closer to the work because they live this pain every day. And they said, you know what? There's got to be a different way to do this. So those are our favorites, actually, because they're charged up and they said, we're going to change this. I think the other one is the learning strategists, because they need to drive that knowledge transfer across the organization. And what they've come to find out is that, as we all know, that with the speed of change and learning, it just can't keep up anymore. You have to learn on the go. So this idea of formal learning or classroom, classroom's not dead. I mean, you still need classroom, and 50% of our customers still do some classroom, but they all recognize that's not the only thing you need to do. You need to have a system of learning that reinforces itself. So you need that consistency and that cohesion as people move across the different experiences and the different analogies. So the other one is the learning strategist. So they're really trying to solve that problem, because when they try to scale that up, it doesn't work. So they've been able to do it at a small scale. They've shown that it works, but it doesn't scale up without technology. So those are usually the ones that come to us. Another group is those that are breaking down the silos. They see the duplication. Like they know that this piece of content, I find it, one, it was so funny. They had 11 versions of how to wash your hands. And they were like, you know, this is craziness. Interestingly, got down to 3 versions. Better, I would argue. You know, I could see the surgeons versus just, you know, the practitioners. It's probably a little bit, we've all watched, you know, ER where people, you know, this massive, lots of conversations happened over the hand washing and the ER episodes. So I can see maybe where you got to, but they see the pain and the problem. And many times they feel the maintenance of it, because at the end of the day, when you try to personalize and you end up with all these versions, it's the maintenance that will eventually just crush your team. Because think of it as technical debt for content. It just keeps going. So those are the ones that are really looking to break down the silos, to deduplicate content, and to get something that works together. And then the interesting thing is lately we have 2 new groups that have kind of come onto the stage that I'm super excited about. One is the enterprise architects. So the enterprise architects, they realize that it's an ecosystem and they need to connect this ecosystem together. And they're looking for tools that will do this. And what they love about Xyleme is we become that central repository for your content. And because we have the APIs and because we act as an open system, so while we can author content within Xyleme, we'll bring in other content as well. We're not like you can only have Xyleme content. Now, obviously, we can do extra magic when it's our content because we have full or more control over that, but we bring in other content as well. So they're looking for tools that will connect this ecosystem together. And as I was talking about earlier, that distribution is one of their key problems, is how do we keep that content in sync? Because many of these global organizations actually have multiple LMSs, and they have extended enterprise, they have partners, they have distributors, so they really struggle to make sure everybody has seen that latest version of the content. And the last group that's come to this stage are the data science teams. They need the data. And we've all said, oh, how can we measure, you know, the impact of our content? And we've struggled because, quite frankly, you can't do it on your own. You need the data science team. So many of our customers, they scoop out the content from our learning record store. So we have a built-in learning record store. We collect lots of great content, like time and page, time and video, you know, question level analytics. And so the data scientists love that data because they pull it into their own data lakes. And then when they combine that with other data like performance and rework and number of tickets and response time on tickets, they can start to get some good information. Is it really working?
I love this on so many facets, but one, what you just said, this whole concept of making this measurable and successful, chief learning officers must love when you do this. You put this in place and all of a sudden they have a story to tell about how great it is.
They absolutely do. I mean, the data is the key. And there's also, you know, there's this whole other, I think the data is starting to get even bigger now that we look at the talent intelligence and the skills intelligence. And now you look at content intelligence. And it used to be like, what do we measure? I mean, everybody remembers Kirkpatrick, right? And how many people actually got to level 5 of Kirkpatrick. But I think we're going to get to a world where it's actually much simpler. It's, can you do your job? Can I prepare you for your next role? Can I fill the positions that are open within my company? Like, do we have people who are ready with those skills to do that job? And can we keep up? Do we have strategic projects that we are missing skills for? That's a gap. Like, and how quickly can then we fill the gap to be able to have the people we need and put the right people in the right seats with the right skills? I think that really clarifies, like, what's the purpose of our content? And being able to bring these new data sets together, I think, would give us a lot of clarity on that.
You know, we talk about getting people the right information at the right time. It's obvious that your system does this in everything that you've already shared with us. But more than that, I think you're solving some of that content problem that organizations have where they have the sprawl and mess. You've got an answer that says, hey, we're going to take that thing that's written 17 different ways. We're going to turn it into one or two ways, and we're going to get those people that need to see it, what they need. Do you see people trying to use your system for more than learning? It feels like it almost could go a lot further.
Yeah, and I think in some ways, we started out in learning. So we do learning, what I call learning with a capital L. You know, some people have said, oh, they do learning and they put in some knowledge checks and stuff. But, you know, people who know have been in learning, like I said, classroom's not dead. You still need instructor guides, student guides, PowerPoint. And PowerPoint isn't dead. As much as we all might want it to die, it's not dead. And you need real assessments with question pools and weighted exams. We even do proctored exams, timed exams. So, you know, when you really get to the enterprise level, particularly in high compliance organizations, that big L in learning really matters. But yes, we also can do technical documentation. We do a lot of knowledge articles. Even some marketing, I would say marketing has some of its own quirks, but when you think of product sheets and you think of the talking points around products, those as well, lots of customer education. So about a third of our customers are educating their customers on their products. So you see a lot of those product sheets, procedural type knowledge articles, but also they're feeding content to labs. So we have several customers that do certifications on their products. So they're big software companies, and they feed our XML into their own virtual lab systems, but then they can also gather some of the data I was talking about back to understand how people are going through those labs. So we really do the gamut. And I would almost argue that today you can't really separate people management, performance management from learning and knowledge management. It all really needs to come together. And I think once we break down those silos, and it does, it's just going to be a beautiful future. I mean, it is all part of the same Rubik's Cube.
It really is. If people aren't given the information they need to do their job, and a lot of that is through training and learning, then they won't be successful or competent. And you know what? They'll quit. And what you're enabling is a happier, more efficient workforce. And that's a big deal.
And retention is a huge driver right now. And it's interesting, if you look at the LinkedIn Learning report from a couple of years back and a couple other reports have shown that if you want to retain your top talent, you have to show that career path within the organization. They have to know that their skills are staying up to date so that they have value in the market, because everybody's worried about job security. And one way to ensure job security is I'm currently building skills that I see as relevant out into the market. And, you know, we're in a tough labor market. It's not like you can just buy your way out of some of these skills problems these days. You're going to have to train your way out of them. And a lot of the skills are new. So it's not like I can even go hire it. There aren't enough data scientists on the planet right now to fill all the open requests. So you're going to have to train some people up yourself. And they're just a lot.
KnowledgeCast is brought to you by Enterprise Knowledge, the world's largest dedicated knowledge management consultancy. From training to benchmarks, strategy, design, prototyping, and all the way to enterprise-level implementations, Enterprise Knowledge wants to be your services partner, spanning the fields of knowledge management, knowledge graphs, data, learning, advanced content management, and enterprise artificial intelligence. Contact us at info@enterprise-knowledge.com to discuss how we can support you.
Well, I like that, and that's such a competitive advantage. If you can train others, it gets them excited to come because that's where they get to grow. And you can teach them things your way, which gives you an advantage as they move forward. But solving that problem of 12 different ways to wash your hand down to one is makes it all doable. So I know you're a leader in the space, and you've talked a bit about some of why you're the best, but tell us more. So if someone's looking at multiple LCMSs, learning content management systems, why should they pick Xylee?
So one, I think, is our background in learning. Like I was saying earlier, I mean, we really understand the learning space and all the nuances of that. And we've kind of grown up from the classroom to the e-learning, to the micro-learning, to now micro-burst is supposed to be even shorter, to, you know, performance support, coaching guides, all of that. So we understand how you can componentize your content in order to meet all of those different needs. So I think that's a key part. I think, like I said earlier, that's a key part of knowledge management. I think, don't think you can set learning aside. Now, whether or not it becomes the same system, I don't know that it has to, but the two systems need to talk together. So I think that's where the distribution and the Xylee and the API. So we have built a robust API layer so that we can talk to other systems. So maybe you have another system that already exists that's your management system. Well, let's see how we can get the two systems to share information together, because a lot of that procedural content, a lot of the references, particularly if you're giving people activities or labs, we come from the other one. So how do we work together? So I think that idea that we're very open, we have the APIs, and we have that distributions hub that takes content all the way to the hands of the learner. Like, we don't stop with, oh, here's your content you publish, because as soon as you disconnect it from that source, now it's disconnected. It's out in the wild, and now you've got that maintenance problem you're talking about. So you've got to maintain that connection all the way through to the hands of a learner across multiple systems. I think that is a key. And it needs to be in the same place. Xylee is all out of the box. So many other tools, you could cobble them together. So I can solve this problem, but I have to take multiple tools. And there's an advantage to it was created as one tool because it works more seamlessly together. And that people like one throat too. So, you know, and it's one place to go. If something isn't working from begin to end, you can basically know where you're going to go. The other is the data analytics. I really think that is key. And we're investing also in content intelligence. So how do we start to bring AI into this picture? Because that data is going to be critical.
You beat me to it. I figured AI had to come up in the discussion. Tell us more about how you're impacting people's use of AI, or how people are using AI or machine learning with Xylee.
So when I think of AI, I think of it in two categories. There's one, the generative AI. So we all have heard the hype recently with ChatGPT, which seems to have died down just a little bit. So that's, I think, a generative AI, which I do think will have a place. But what I feel is more interesting right now is more of the classification and the predictive AI. So that's where a lot we're looking, because one of the key questions I find is when we get new customers are like, well, what content do you have? Particularly when we start talking about migration. And I'm amazed how many people don't know. They really don't have a handle on their content catalog. So I think part of it is using AI to understand what content do I have, which means breaking it down into skills. So, you know, down into a low level, not at the publication level, but if I crack my content open, what do I actually have? Across what types of modalities, what type of skill level on it? You know, you've got your novices, you've got your experts, and you have several layers in between across different regions. And I think if you could get a map of that, that showed you the depth and breadth of your content, lots of people don't see that. And that's interesting, but it's not necessarily useful. So if you wanted to take that and be useful, what I would lay onto that is utilization. who's using that content and segment that? Because we know whenever we say like everybody, that doesn't tell you much. To be able to segment that content by your different audiences. And then obviously you're gonna look for correlations between performance and other metrics. But even more so, if I can then take that and I can layer over what's my strategic objectives. Like, what is it that we feel are the skills that we need today, but also the skills we need into the future? So now I've got something that's pretty interesting because that tells me what's my content development pipeline need to look like. How do I need to prioritize my content projects based on what I already have and deprecate stuff that's not being used, just get it out of the way. Look at where I have those pockets of excellence. Where's the content that is really seems to be driving activity, but also driving change? And how do I replicate that? What is it about that content? So dig into that. But also, where are my gaps for the future? I need content in these areas because that's where we're going and I don't have anything.
I love the idea of this real analytics-based approach. You know, in our world, we typically call these a skills taxonomy, right? Or competency taxonomy, and then we do auto tagging to tag it. But as you start to pull that together, your ability to exist as a component-based content management system where pieces can be assembled, that allows for personalization, it allows for better measurement of what's happening, and it ties it all together. You couldn't do without that component-based aspect to it, really. And so that's super powerful for our listeners who haven't thought that through in that way. It's this componentization of content is something we've always been champions of, to do it in the learning space, which is, when you think about it, just so obvious, it's really the right way to go. So, Leslie, I love that you've put that together, and I like how you describe that. You know, technology continues to change the way we think about knowledge management, and of course, you were giving us some real thoughts about that as well. What's next? What's coming up in the near future that you all see either from Xylene or even related to the learning space? What should our customers be thinking about that's headed around the corner?
I think it's a couple things. One is what we just talked about, data. I think that data, if you can connect it together, is just going to change the whole equation and give us those metrics we've always wanted. So I think that's key. I think the other, what connecting these systems will finally give to us, is to be able to bring the data together to improve that user experience. So one is, I know who you are. I have your profile information. So that's currently trapped in the HR systems. So I need to pull that out so that when I'm accessing content, that is part of the search equation. Like, who am I? What's my role? You know, and am I already certified in this? So I like to think of, like, I'm a loan processor and I'm processing a loan. And the system, when I log in, it says, "Leslie, you've been processing loans forever. You know, you already know this. You got this. You don't need anything," but something has changed and I get an alert. This has changed about how we process loans. So I take my little learning burst and I move on. But maybe, Joe, you log in and you're day three on the job. You have no idea how to process this loan. You're going to get a checklist. You're going to get something that helps you and walks you through what you're doing. And then you might even have some in between where maybe there's some rework, there's quality problems. So now we're going to retrain the group. We're saying, hey, we got too many issues in this area. And you guys log in to load, process, load. But it's where I'm working. I'm not going to a learning management system. I'm not going to the LXP. It's bringing it in app to where I'm working. And it's contextual. You know who I am. You know what I'm doing. I'm processing the loan. And you're going to give me that information right there. And it's probably used too much too in the flow of work, but that's literally to me what that means. In the flow of work, you're helping me do my job better and to perform better. And I'm learning every time you reinforce this. And after a while, you're like, Joe, you got this now. Next time, I'm just going to tell you when something's changed. To me, I think that's where I hope we get to someday soon.
I'll tell you, I really like the idea of that. As someone who's, you know, been a newbie and someone who's been doing something for many years, when you've done it for a long time, you really want the quick answer and be done with it. You don't need the whole book again. But for those newbies, when you're new at something, tell me everything there is to know. And what you're saying is, that's around the corner. And talk about getting people the right information at the right time. It's the right amount of information at the right time. So Leslie, I love that. Yeah. Anything else? What would you like to share with your customers that we didn't talk about yet today?
The key is, it's an exciting future. I think there's a lot of things that are going on right now with technology and data that I think are poised to change the game. and to really do the things we've known are the right things to do for a very long time. I think it's not that we don't know what drives learning or performance. And I think it's not that we don't know what's the right thing to do. I think up until now, in some cases, it's been too hard, or it's been too expensive, or we didn't have the backing of the organization to do it. But I think a lot of that has changed. One, more open systems. And like I said, so I'm really excited to have the enterprise architects and the data science part of these questions and teams, because they're driving some of those purchasing decisions and they understand that this is important to the bigger things they're trying to do. I think that retention and the tighter labor market is actually helping in this case, and that, you know, there's more budgets to driving that and investing it. And I think a lot of the buzz around the talent and skills intelligence is actually going to leak into content too. I'm a little annoyed that they don't talk about content more, because I'm like, guys, how are you going to take your talent intelligence and your skills intelligence system, so you find out all this stuff, but then what? Like, what are you going to actually do to move somebody towards where they need skills, which we all know is going to be knowledge management? And so I'm just really excited about, you know, the future.
As you should be. You've got a leading product with forward-thinking ideas, and that makes a difference. Leslie, thank you again for joining us. And I want to thank all of the listeners of KnowledgeCast for coming in to hear Leslie and I talk about Xi Lehman component-based LCMSs. To learn more about knowledge management and knowledge management systems, visit our website at enterprise-knowledge.com. And we look forward to hearing from you again. Thanks, everyone. Bye.